Hey everyone, and welcome to the second part, or part two, of my interview with wine writer, psalm, wine host, Instagram star, all-around great person, René Falazza. And as I said in the first intro to part one of this interview, it's the third time she's been on. And if you listen to part one, you can see why. I mean, it's a lot of fun. And she was incredibly generous with her time, with the wines. Shout out to places like Carlo Estate, Stanners, Rose Hall Run, and Old Third. And there's not a lot of other podcasts where you're comparing wines to poor things. Drew Barrymore, we're talking about Chardonnay and Pinot Grigio and 30 Rock. And we argue a lot about Love Actually. The first interview, part one, it ended with us talking about pairing great wines with more ordinary events. And the second part, we pick it up with some work she is doing with a really large California wine producer, McManus. And so we'll talk about that, more life lessons, more wine, LCBO conversation, and that is all coming up in part two. Thanks so much for listening.
The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Speaking of California, what should people know about the wines of McManus? I've noticed that you've been doing a bunch of stuff.
I do.
A bunch of stuff with McManus on your Instagram account. And just what should people know about them?
So I work a lot with these bigger brands a lot of the times. And I think that a lot of people will see that I'm working with these bigger brands. And it looks like big people just want to buy the attention of consumers. I really try to work with larger wineries that are doing some really great stuff across the board. Everyone thinks that money equals power and more stuff, but also money does equal the ability to do a lot more things than a lot smaller wineries, especially when it comes to sustainability. They're really great on the sustainable front. They have reduced the weight of their bottles across the board by, honestly, it's about like 150 grams, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it's a third off, and it saves about like 30% of their overall carbon footprint just by doing the bottles.
Yeah.
They are fully sustainable. They've converted all their vineyards to organic, which is amazing. They have a lot of vineyards, and they're on the Lodi board as well. The Dirk Duvel is on the Lodi Rules board, and they follow the Lodi Rules of Sustainability. They're also the reason why we have the River Junction AVA out in Lodi.
Oh.
So they have done quite a bit in terms of doing a lot for sustainability. And again, like, I love these really pedestrian, everyday moments. It's a very affordable wine. It's a very everyday wine. It's a wine that has a lot of really great winemaking behind it from a cheaper region in California. So you don't really see all of the tropes that come with cheap wine in Napa, which is
chemicals and sugar.
Exactly. Chemicals and sugar. So you don't see all that stuff, but you see like boldness, which is very classic California. You cannot get rid of the boldness in California if you try.
Nor should you.
It's bold. Just let it be bold. But you get a lot of great things from them. And I want people to have, I got a lot of actually comments on my work with McManus from people here in Ontario saying, why aren't you supporting like sustainable wines in Ontario? I'm like, because consumers aren't thinking like this all the time. They want sustainable choices when they want to drink a California wine.
Yep.
This is a good wine that they should be drinking.
And good, by the way, good for McManus. It certainly goes against the stereotype of giant corporation and just, you know, just evil.
Bad, evil.
A boardroom, a bunch of evil old white men with brandy and stuff, laughing mm-hmm. and cackling with spats and with a monocle. So good for them. And also, if you can reduce the weight of your bottle, I mean, yeah, that's going to have so much good, just so much positive impact in terms of the environment.
No, and you see this all the time. Like even Magnata, who I do a lot of work with too.
Yep.
They just released Frugal Bottle. I don't know if you know about Frugal Bottles.
No.
Paper bottles. It's got a bag inside that's mm-hmm. recyclable. Paper bottle. It's called the Frugal Bottle. It has a reduction in carbon footprint per bottle of 84%. So they just released Ugly Duck White and Red, and that's a Frugal Bottle that they have it in. All of these bigger businesses doing these like really great things, it deserves people to know because this is what consumers are buying. This is what consumers are seeing. These great wines that we're trying awesome and people should get into them, but they don't have the marketing budget. No. We get people into these wines by roping them in with all the other stuff that people are paying great marketing dollars to pay attention to.
Absolutely.
It's like, now that you're here,
hey, come on over here. It's like what I always say is that Yellowtail is one of the most, and those wines like that are some of the most important wine for the industry, because when you're young, you're trying bottles like that, and then you want to just learn more about other wines. That's why there's very few wines I look down upon, except for the 17 grams of sugar per liter wines.
Like anything that's like super mega purple and citric acid and sugar and all that, like I'm no bueno. Anything that gets somebody into the next level, I am here for.
Yep.
Even a lot of people even look down on like Muscat d'Asti and different types of Moscato. I'm like, well, you know, there is sweetness with acidity in there. Stop making wine hard for people to understand. Make it easy. Everybody wants to drink it. Just let them drink it. It's delicious. All right. We have our next wine. The Carlo Estates 2018 Pinot Noir. This is not their foot of the mountain, I believe. This is just their general Pinot. Well, and this is vegan.
And this 2018, so it's got 6 years on it. That's an intense dark cherry nose is the first thing that's coming out.
I haven't even smelled it
yet. Get in there. And also, like, when I think of Carlo Estate.
And the tertiary color is already, it's starting to brown a little bit. It is starting to brown a little bit.
Yeah, and that just smells like classic Ontario.
Cherries, yes. Like walking through a forest, like in the fall, like crunchy leaves.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, it's completely different area, but my first thought is I remember drinking some older Flat Rock Pinots.
Yeah.
That were like 7, 8 years old on it.
Well, it has that almost like violet sarsaparilla thing that they kind of do too.
And good for them, because Carlo Estates also, they spend a lot of time in the Bordeaux blend, in the Bordeaux varietal, so.
Oh, that's a nice wine.
That's a good wine. That's a good wine.
Call Sherry Carlo after this. Yes. Like, hey, that was a good wine.
I love them. I love it's, Sherry. I love the entire staff, the entire management team of Carlo Estates is incredible.
I will say that I love everything that they do. Although some of their wines for me, because this is my palate. This lighter style is my palate. They make a lot of really great bold wines, which I highly recommend people try. Every time I'm there, I'm like, I'll buy your Pinot. I'll buy your Chardonnay. I want your lighter, fun stuff.
If you like everything, you love nothing.
I am a very like light-bodied girly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is the classic. What? You only drink Burgundy? Well, here, try this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a wine that'll fool you.
The best part about this is that they are on that we are right back now to the almost exact same area of Lacey Estates.
Yep.
That minerality that we had in the first one is right back in the center of the tongue. We have that dolomitic limestone again that's come back, which is the basis of Prince Edward County on the northern side versus the sandier soils that drop into the Bay of Quinte. So we've kind of see that, and it was hard to see in our blend from Mirandin and our Pinot Gris in our orange style from Stanners, just because the style is so strong. But now we're back to like full on PEC terroir vibe.
Yeah, that's what's the alcohol? That can't be more than 12 and a half.
It's okay. 12
yeah.
on.
Yeah, that's a really, really good wine. So as we're sipping on that, I'm going to go back to my pre-prepared questions.
Give me a pre-prepared question.
One that you saw, and I've mentioned it a bunch on radio because I love giving sneaky plugs to Ontario wineries mm-hmm. on air. For people listening, and if by the time this is released, because it's a couple weeks before it's released, the LCBO strike, if it's still going on, order. See, I don't know what they're. If they will deliver. Creekside Syrah. That is one of my favorite sub $20 Ontario reds, and I noticed it in on one of your Instagram accounts.
Yeah,
that's a great wine.
It is. So like Rob really makes great wines. He's very much into like Sauvignon Blanc and Syrah. He's the winemaker over at Creekside. Last name I cannot remember.
How can you not remember Rob Power?
Power. There
that's
you go.
A great name. Rob Power. That's a power name.
Liz, you know, I'm not great with names. It takes me a little while to learn people's names.
Apologies again to Colin Stanners.
Sorry, Colin. Yeah. Sorry, Rob. Yeah. Sorry, everybody. But listen, I remembered part of your name, mm-hmm. which is on as a dyslexic person who has everyone saved by what they look like in her phone, this is very good for me. But it's a really fabulous wine with the strike going on. Who knows how long it's going to be going on for. Everybody is coming in on different sides of the coin with everything. The big, and I think everyone's going to get more and more mad at the LCBO as life goes on. But we
as long
should,
as it's not the employees. The employees.
Everyone's going to get madly wrong at the employees. But what they should really be looking at is the LCBO pays for a lot of our services. It pays for our healthcare, pays for our schools, pays for infrastructure. The issue is that a lot of people making wine here have to pay a lot for these types of things too. We have really, really great wine coming out of Niagara and Prince Edward County, especially like the Creekside Syrah sub 20. Super, super fabulous. Again, I mentioned Magnata. They make a ton of sub 20s. Also, Flat Rock makes some really, really great affordable wines as well. That's been Ed's thing the whole time. Henry, affordable wines.
Henry Pelham's got some Bordeaux blends. Yeah. Padre. That's
so good. There's a lot of affordable 180 wines as well. Make some very affordable wines.
And one that you recently recommended, it's not like expensive, it's not cheap. 13th Street.
Yes.
Their sparkling program.
You
can get some
fabulous.
Good stuff for like early 30s that,
yeah.
that deserve to be more.
And once we get into the early 30s, there's a whole world that opens up. But for sub 20, there's a really great like large handful of people, like dual handful of wineries that are making great stuff. They do also sell by the bottle, which is good. Who knows how long this is going to go on for? I really hope that people don't get mad at the workers. I get it. It looks like people at the LCBO are making a lot more money than everybody else. This is a service that is essential because it pays for a lot of our goods and services. And if that moves to grocery stores, the sales tax does not cover that.
Yeah. For me, my anger with the LCBO is always just about they should be supporting more. There should be more Ontario wines because mm-hmm. the O in LCBO, you know, is Ontario. So that for me, that has always been my main issue with the LCBO. Or when I was younger, before I had Nexus, and I would have to sneak many bottles of wine back from other countries. And I'm like, why are you taxing the hell out of me? Do you know how much Ontario wine I bought over the years? You let me bring back all the wine, the goddamn fucking wines that I'm bringing back from France or Germany or New Zealand or South Africa, not South America, South Africa. Let me bring it back because I'm not the problem. I'm the guy that's spending tons of money at your LCBOs, buying lots of Ontario wines, not out of nationalism because I love the goddamn product. Okay. So leave me alone.
This is a full rant now.
God.
You know, I think if they want to make things an equal playing field, they should let Ontario wines enter grocery stores. They should let them enter all these other spaces that we see in BC with as much ease as they can. The LCBO is a bureaucratic system, which means that they follow NAFTA, which means that they have a whole bunch of stuff going on that we can't get around. It's hard because we have a lot of people just expecting different things from different aspects of government, but we have a very uninformed population that the government's so happy to keep uninformed, which is very annoying to me.
Yeah. But you know, being informed, oh, so much work.
Oh my God. I know. It's awful. Like I hate having like information in my brain. Ugh.
Yeah. But then you got to learn stuff.
Learn things and like express feelings. That's annoying. Anyway, this wine is delicious.
This wine is so good. And I don't remember, this is probably because of the year, I think this is before Derek Barnett. I don't know if Barnett was the winemaker back in 18.
I'm pretty sure he was because okay. Sherry also gave me, I remember her taking me to their library. She gave me a very old bottle of Nebbiolo that I still have that was made by her husband mm-hmm. before he passed.
Yeah.
She was telling me about Derek, and then I got this one at that time. I think that's what I did.
Okay, because yeah, Derek's such a great winemaker.
Oh, he's great.
Just and a great person. I've now realized. Let's see, we're at the 58-minute mark. All right, this is going to be a two-parter. So this is a two-part.
Okay, last wine.
Oh yeah, no. We don't have to rush. My God, like you know.
Okay. I have too much to say.
This is why you're on for the third time because we start arguing about Love Actually. I mean,
it's a weird movie.
But the opening, like when he mentions 9/11 and like you realize right at the beginning of the movie, this is not a normal rom-com because normal rom-coms don't mention 9/11 and they did. And you know
what's not a normal rom-com that's good? Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Love that movie. Uh-huh. Of course. I mean, you know, who doesn't love that movie? I mean, I teared up during both Eternal Sunshine and Love Actually as well. I mean,
yeah, Love Actually is just reminds me of like every bad relationship I've had with like an older man in my 20s. I'm like, well, this is weird.
That's not the movie's fault. That's your fault.
But that's life.
I know. That's life. Exactly.
That's why it's male gaze.
Oh, stop it, male gaze.
It is. It is.
By the way,
I'm telling you, it's true. I'm right. I'm right. I know I'm right.
The Emma Watson, not Emma. The wife who got cheated on.
Oh no, I don't remember her name, but I like her.
It'll come to me in one. Oh my
god, she has short hair.
Yeah, she has short hair in it. And when she is standing there, when she realizes her husband Alan Rickman has cheated on her, and the music is playing in the background, and she's got it, and she's just so intense in that one moment. Just mm-hmm. And then she's got to go back and be with the family and put a smile on her face. It's such a good scene.
Again,
how is that a male gaze?
Why it is very male gaze because you don't see her. He doesn't see her strength until he ruins her life.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's her fault. Maybe if she expressed herself more,
She probably has. I guarantee.
Cold British wife. Alan Rickman's.
I guarantee you that script is written by a man and it's directed by a man and it is all that they notice.
Oh man, I'm looking up on IMDb. I am so hoping. Please mm-hmm. let it be like Nora
yeah.
Ephron.
Yeah, sure.
Please
go for
let it. Be Nora Ephron.
I don't even know who the director is. I just
Emma Thompson, by the way. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Damn it. Do you think Richard Curtis could be a female?
No.
Oh, moving on. What's the next wine we're having?
Dick did a great job on that movie.
Dick really did do a good job. How dare you say there's male gazing with someone named Dick?
I know, right? It's almost like I'm right.
You know what? There's different interpretations.
I'm pretty sure I'm right.
We'll go with that one. Then.
You know what? I won't ruin the movie for you anymore. It is a very
It
is a really nice movie.
It really is.
It's a very, very nice movie. But Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is much better.
Very different movies.
It's a very different movie. So okay. The Old Third. Have you tried anything from the Old Third before?
The Old Third. That's like the giant barn.
It's
right?
a giant barn. Okay, they have a pasta bar inside.
Yeah,
we got Bruno and Jens, and they're the couple that like run their winery. I think Bruno makes the wine, and Jens does. He does the front of house, the like all that stuff. So that's how they kind of split stuff up. But Bruno also makes the pasta there. This is the 2020 Gamay Noir. I already had this up at the cottage last week and I really liked it.
The black pepper notes on the back end of that Gamay Noir are
it's like pepper, blueberries, and blackberries, and it's just such a wine with like strength and intensity on the nose. It's a very meaty Gamay.
Yeah, this is almost the Syrah lover's Gamay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is kind of how I would I think I would put this. I haven't tried this one. I've tried a little bit of their stuff here and there, but the Old Third, I've been in there, but it's certainly not one I know a ton about. So that's cool one to try.
They're really awesome. They're actually our only queer owned winery in all of Canada.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Fun fact.
That is a fun fact.
Isn't that just a fun fact?
It is indeed.
I love their... I had so many bottles of this.
Mm-hmm.
I did have in the past tense so many bottles of this, and I was deciding what to bring today, and I was like, oh, I'll just bring this Gamay that I had last week that was absolutely delicious.
It really is. And it's fun. Like I haven't tried as much Gamay from Peck. When I think of Gamay, I'm just like Niagara... You know, is there, and Thomas Batchelder's like everyone into the umbrella that is my Gamay Noirs and 13th Street. 13th Street also.
Thomas big. Is doing a great job on the Gamay train.
Yeah, him but, and KP are they're both.
Oh,
they're
like working real hard about it.
Yeah,
you know, I'd say like Gamay and Pinot kind of go hand in hand for regions.
Mm-hmm.
You can see like even all the grapes that we've had, they're all like Riesling and Pinot Gris, Gewürztraminer. They're really great for like this type of region as well, especially when you get some heat on a slope.
Mm-hmm.
Gamay and Pinot love a little bit of a cool action. Honestly, Chardonnay is great there too, but the county gets really hot in the summer.
Yeah.
Oh, like,
yeah.
It's like stifling.
Yeah.
It goes from nothing to like, wow, this is the Bahamas.
Yeah, it gets stinky hot. I do an excellent male gaze trip every year with two of my buddies. And we do Prince Edward County every year And we do two nights, and my buddy's got a cottage, and we buy a giant piece of lamb, and we buy...
I don't think that's the male gaze. I think that's just like a bros night.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but it's a great bros night, because all it is...
awesome bros night.
It's Peck Pinot. It's Peck Shard, Peck Pinot with this little tiny farm that we buy like a giant, massive thing of lamb, and it's just... It's absolutely a delight. And yeah, I feel, first off, again, thank you for bringing up these wines. I still have a couple of other questions for you.
You go for it. But I'm happy that you brought, I'm happy to bring all these wines and share them with you, especially all this, like, cause it's, you know, what's the point of having good wine if you can't share it?
Yeah. It's funny. I've spent like the last 10 years or so really like buying a lot, and I've noticed my cellar, not my cellar, my stepdad's place in Etobicoke, he's got a cellar, and I have like over 200 bottles, and maybe it's because I'm getting close to 50, but I'm just opening more of them. Sharing them. And I remember one of my fun things to do is my niece, she's of age now, and her boyfriend likes wine, so I told her it was my mom's 70th birthday. And I said, go down to the cellar, grab, and I said, pick any bottle you want, and I will open it. Now, there was about 20. If she picked it, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Get that.
No, go away. Don't. No, we're not opening that. Leave me alone.
But there was some high-end Right Bank Bordeaux, and I'm like, perfect.
Perfect.
Let's open it. Share with the family. She hated it. Boyfriend liked it. But it was a nice moment, and I'm at this point now where I don't want to be that person that is like, you know, 84 with 500 bottles.
Yeah, I have around 500 at home.
I know. I love your cellar.
My little IKEA built cellar. You don't have to have a very expensive cellar. I am so pedestrian. I'm like, I don't have an expensive cellar. I don't got any fridges.
You might have IKEA places to hold the wine. The wines themselves.
Nothing pedestrian about them. I'm much more about spending money on the wine than on the place to keep it on. My partner, she is very adamant that if I do not have space in that cellar to put new wine, then I can't buy new wine. She's very good at
good
curtailing governor. In terms of that, we're going to go to Champagne really soon, and she knows that I'm about to spend a whole bunch of money there.
Oh yeah.
And she's like, so do you have enough space for when we get back?
It's a passive aggressive way. She's starting the offensive on you to not buy too much champagne. Smart.
I know. She's very smart. It's very annoying in a good way. But I also really like opening these bottles with people that will enjoy it. We do a couple of family parties a year where we really kind of get people that like will actually drink wine with us and enjoy it. And that's really good. I don't like opening like really fun bottles for people that are going to drink it like water because it hurts my heart.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But otherwise, I am happy.
I was at this at a friend of a friend of a friend's cottage. The gentleman who owned it had a whole bunch of bottles of Montrachet.
Oh, my God.
His wife... wonderful, wonderful woman, but just isn't massive in the wine. She's like, come on, Matt, let's grab a bottle. And she opens the fridge and there's like 8 or 9 bottles of Jadot Premier Cru Montrachet. And she's like, would you like some Montrachet?
Jaws on the floor.
Oh, yeah. And I'm like, yes. Yes, I would. And I felt bad because part of me was like, I don't know if I should say yes.
Yes. The lady said, do you want? Yes, you do.
I did. But the great thing is that the husband who I met once before, really nice guy, he's like, Matt, I'm so happy to share this with you. I know how much you like this wine. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, like, I want you to know every sip I am considering what it smells like, what it tastes like. Mm. And it's the same thing. Like the good wines, the nice wines, not even always the most expensive, but the wines that you really love, passionate about. I don't mind if someone takes a sip and they're not thinking about it. But if they have an entire glass and drinking wine, not thinking. I need you to just have a moment to recognize that farmers and smart people and hardworking people, they went into this.
Well, like my partner and I, we do a Diwali party every year. It's going to be bigger this coming year. He'll send you an invite. Ooh. We have a lot of her friends that don't drink as much. You know, I have like two wines going. One that's like for the people that really don't drink that often, and I'm watching them chug my really nice fancy wines.
Yep.
And I'm just like, you want another glass of red? Okay. Here's Mouton Cadet, which is delicious.
Yep.
Moutonne Cadet is very good.
Yes.
It is a really great bottle of Bordeaux from the same really great house.
It gets a bad name, but I've had it recently. It is well made.
A very well made, yes. Very cheerful, very affordable wine. You know, you pour that for people that drink it, like that drink wine like it's water. I'm happy to have that on my cellar and serve it to people. But also, I'm happy to have that as a glass for myself. However, I will be moving directly into the good Mouton.
And it's not about the money. It's about, it's a finite amount.
It is a principle thing. It is not about the money. No, it's not about the money. Principle.
It's a principle. And also there's a small amount of it.
There's only, I only have so many bottles of my fancy wine.
Yeah.
And you're drinking it like I have 10 cases. Mm-hmm. And that is not true.
So now that we're, yeah, exactly.
It is here. Just like, I'm so happy that I'm putting up a front that makes me look like I'm rich, but I am 100% not that person.
No, it's so true. It's like, the amount of money I've spent, you know, I don't want to think about the amount of
money.
No, we
don't think about it. Don't think about it. Don't think about it.
One last question.
Okay. Okay.
Don't worry. No one's listening. Have you ever like ordered wine and hoped that it was delivered to your home before your partner found it so you could take it and put it away and they would never know?
She doesn't look.
Okay. Smart. No, I haven't though. I've never done that. I was just asking. You know, random question.
She sees the boxes come all the time. But I, you know, I have boxes that come for projects that I do a lot of advertorial listicle, yes, type projects. Sometimes I get really, I share a lot of the wine that comes to the house. So I'll order from people where I actually want to buy the wine from. But often, sometimes I'll have a project that I do that has a wine that I like and I'll keep that bottle. Right now I'm actually helping my cousin fund the beverages she needs for her wedding, mm-hmm, by saving cases and cases of like wines that I've written about for the last year for her. So I don't think she pays attention.
Nice.
Just because the volume is like,
yes, that's it. That's it. Overwhelmed with volume. And then,
yeah, yeah, like she won't notice. She won't notice.
Now that we've gone through the wines again, what which one did you go revisit?
The Lacy Estate.
Yeah, the Lacy Estate Shard.
The Lacy Estate Shard, yeah, is a fabulous example of like what age is doing in PEC. All of these are not current vintages. The most recent one is the 2020 Old Third, which I bought 3.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I bought it 3.5 years ago. It was already pre-pandemic, like 2021 is when I bought it. It's 2024 now. So everything else I bought at another time. And the 2015 Kimball gave me as a release from their library.
Very nice. Very generous. Very, very that's nice a great. And shout out to Lacey. Yeah, that wine is showing exactly what you want from a well-made Ontario char. Just the development, the richness, mm-hmm, the nutty, the golden. Just everything that's going on there.
It's really yummy.
How much, much more difficult is it for you to do a wine event on the last glass that you are talking about versus the first glass? Because you were so good, and when we'll do a shout out to Verdejo, you did this joy for Verdejo. And you know, you're in a tough position because this was really well done. Shout out to Jessica Glover and Global Communications. Mm-hmm. And there was so much good wine. The problem about having so much
good
wine.
There was a lot of wine.
There was a lot of wine.
It's a lot. How many wines was there?
There was at least 7 or 8.
There was 8 in total. Yeah. There was 5 for the dinner and 3 to before food, yes, even came out.
The pre-food 3.
Yeah.
And they were very generous with pours.
Yeah.
And the problem with having a full array of really good wines, and the wines of Verdejo were fantastic.
Yeah.
The only person that suffered from that was the MC for the night to try to corral the crowd.
Yeah.
And you remember me. I was watching you the entire time.
Yeah.
I made sure to applaud loud when you started to talk.
Good.
It really was me just trying to tell everyone to shut up. But how hard can events be?
You know, events can be really hard. I really try to front load information.
Smart.
On events.
Smart.
By the last wine, I really want to do the whole like, and you can find more information at, did you have a nice time? Woo. If you like this, then do this. If you, well, we're going to get into our last glass. Cheers, everyone. Good night. Like that kind of thing. I would like to give as little information as possible by the final wine. And honestly, if I do my job right by the final wine, everyone should really understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And I also like walk around the room a lot and like talk to people individually. Smart. And you saw me do that as well. I don't know how much time I actually sat down at that event. It was very little.
You would sat down for 2 minutes, say hi, have a bite to eat, and then get back up again like Phil Donahue through a crowd.
Yeah.
You're just going through the crowd with a mic.
I was. And you know, like, I'm giving people the most amount of information on the front end of the event. By the middle of the event, by wine number five, I was done all information. Yeah. It was just like, we already learned about this. Now we're getting into like, here's another example. Here's why this pairs with this. Let's just go forward with it. The more you give people that aren't in the wine industry wine, they will drink it. I've been spitting a lot of what I've had so far in this conversation, but people in the wine industry do not spit. I had a friend of mine who's on TV and she was there with her husband. She's like, I am wasted.
Really?
And he has to drink all my wine. And I have to drink all of his wine because he drove. It was a bad idea to drive. She was wasted. And I was like, I'm really sorry, but that's it. I drove myself there. I drove myself home.
Yep.
I don't think I had like a full glass to drink.
No.
At all. I just really was, my goal is to make people have a fun time.
Yeah.
But a lot of people left there being like,
It was a great night, but also it was just a reminder. Let's give a shout out to the wines of Verdejo, which is the grape, the region Rueda, northern Spain. And what I love about those wines is the range you get.
The range is really fun. So Verdejo in Spain, Rueda in Spain, super great wine. Verdejo is the grape. And you get like these like super lean, linear, acid-driven wines. But you also get these like leasy, nutty, fun wines. And then all the way into oak aging, which is super great too. I'm also revisiting more of these wines.
As you should.
As I should. They opened them, right?
Also, people need to know, we got like a mixing bowl that's halfway filled. The spittoon, the disgusting but necessary spittoon.
Yeah, just watch Sideways and you can find out more about a spittoon.
Yeah. Stupid side. Great movie. But
I will watch anything with Paul Giamatti yelling in it.
Yeah.
It's a good trope.
Ooh, totally off topic. If we're going to do the greatest swearers.
Greatest swearers of all time?
Swearers in film. I'm going to throw out a couple to you.
Okay.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, but.
Is a great swear.
Yeah.
Susie Essman from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I didn't watch Curb.
Oh, okay. She is one of my favorite swears. Al Pacino is another great swearer.
Yeah.
Paul Giamatti is a great yeller. He is absolutely just, because he goes from 1 out of 10 to 9 out of 10. And you don't see it coming. And suddenly
no,
it just explodes.
It just happens.
Yeah.
I do really like Tina Fey's character of Liz Lemon in 30 Rock. Her swears are very like pedestrian and fun. It's the word of the day is pedestrian. But I like when you just call someone like a fart, you're like, you're such a fart. I hate you. I love a good everyday swear. Like, one of my favorite things to say to people that annoy me are just like, oh, your haircut.
So cutting in so few words.
I know. And it took no swear words to get me there, but it's just like everything about you is said by your haircut. I hate you. I am much more on the line of I hate you in so many ways. Here's how. I hate you this way and let me count the ways.
We will end with this because we could now like start doing just ranking of our favorite episodes of 30 Rock. Even for me, that's too indulgent.
Oh, you know what's another good swear person?
Yeah.
Kristen Bell.
Yep.
Kristen Bell and anything in The Good Place. She has a lot of really good swears in The Good Place. A lot of really good swears in The Good Place.
The last two episodes of The Good Place. How many liters of tears?
Oh, I still cried. I've seen that. I rewatched
it. I cannot watch
it. All the time.
Yeah.
I must have seen The Good Place from start to finish at least 15 times, and I still cry.
Chidi. Just pour it out for Chidi.
Pour it out for Chidi. There you go. But they can't really swear in the show.
I know.
So it comes up with like such good insults.
Yep.
And I hate to be that person, but I'm like, if you have to put the F word or whatever into a bunch of different stuff to like make it really punch and hurt someone, like you're not using language correct. It's a crutch.
It's 100%
it's a crutch. I would much rather like to hear like a good insult.
Yeah.
Like a good wine.
Yeah.
This comes around every once in a while. It's very nice.
Yeah, because, you know, in swearing in the wine world, Maybe that's the chemicals or the sugar. It's a crutch.
It's a crutch.
What's next? Like, because you're always like super busy. What's next for Renee? Like, there must be like,
you know, there's always stuff in the works.
Or what are you excited about?
I'm excited about expanding into a different side of the wine world over time, where I can. I've really enjoyed sharing the knowledge and passion that I have in terms of kind of bringing that to TTV, bringing that to writing, bringing that to video content. I'm really excited about like what the next things will be in that, what my next projects are, being able to provide people with like another aspect of that they can bring into their own homes. That's kind of like my next focus.
You know, we end with this. I mean, you do such a great job because in the end, much like when you do TV, it's about everything feeling easy and just comfortable and relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you do. And I think that's such an important thing for the wine world, because in the end, that's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be something fun. Mm-hmm. Don't put it on a pedestal. Enjoy the great wine on a Tuesday. Have the great wine with chips. Respect the product, because there's a lot of humans and a lot of hands that go into it.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of have fun with it in a relaxed environment. You do a great job with that.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Again, and also final thought, thank you for bringing all these wines.
You're welcome.
I love Prince Edward County. The first winery I fell in love with was in Peck, even before I fell in love with any of the wines of Niagara.
Was it Klassen?
No, it was Long Dog.
Oh, Long Dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
Long Dog, Long Dog was my favorite first, and then from there it just kind of grew. People out there, go to winebyrenee.com.
Or on Instagram.
And Instagram is also winebyrenee.
There you go.
R-E-N-E-E. Thanks so much, Renee.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.